Some would say not long enough, maybe. Well, so I realized this week that today was daylight savings time, day. And thankfully we have our cell phones that change automatically. But have you ever like forgotten before we had the cell phones and were like an hour late to church? Okay, like we forgot one time and we weren't that late, but we looked like we just rolled out of bed. So anyway, I thought in celebration of daylight savings time, I would look up some cute comments about it as my table's being cleaned for me. I'm not so sure about this daylight savings time thing. I give it 6 months.
Solid.
Does anyone actually plan for daylight savings, or do you just find out it's happening at 3:40 a.m. every year?
Is that what the time it happens?
Apparently. I don't know. Happy my car clock is right again day to all who celebrate.
That's my
I know nothing about daylight savings time. I do not know when it begins. I do not know when it ends. I rely on people complaining about it every year to know what's going on.
Maybe that would be better.
Daylight savings time is this weekend. Remember that we could get rid of daylight savings and just keep turning our clocks back until we live in complete darkness cradled by the velvety night. Yeah, I give it up. When you have a newborn baby, every day is daylight savings. Daylight is saved, but is it baptized? Very cool how I haven't left my time zone in over 2 years and still somehow jet lag is imposed upon me twice a year by the curse of daylight savings. All right, this is save the best for last. Why lose an hour of sleep? Can't we all agree to spring forward mid-morning Monday, going from 9:59 a.m. right to 11, almost time for lunch? Hard to imagine anyone would object.
Yes.
That sounds good for a Monday at work. Let's skip ahead an hour, and that works for me. All right. All right, so before we get started, let's pray. And we'll dive right in. So, Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sunshine. We just give this time to you, Lord. Please speak to our hearts what you would have each of us hear. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in the midst of us. You are the teacher and the guide. So let your words come out today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to talk today about kind of what's been going on inside of me for the last, 10 months or so since Doug's been dealing with some illness. Part of it, it's just sometimes, you see people going through stuff and you're like, what's really going on inside of them? So I'm just going to share what's really been going on for me, all right? So to start off, we're just going to talk about the fact that God is good. God is good in the light. God is good in the dark. And I was a few months ago reading an article the Israel and that war kind of started. And I was reading an article about a family in the United States who had been in Israel, and they had a kind of a tough time, but they got out and they made it home, and they were just kind of telling their story about that trip and making it home. And at the very end of the article, they said, God is good. And I read that article and I was like, oh, wow, good for them. But then it just kind of like, God is good. God was good for them. They made it home. But there's a lot of people over there who didn't. There's a lot of people who lost loved ones, who died. Is God still good? Even in death? Even when we don't see the miraculous things we want to see happen? Is God still good? Or do we only celebrate God's goodness when good things happen? I think a fairly common thing, like, oh, thank God, God is so good. But what is the first thing we turn to when the bad stuff is coming at us? oh God, you're so good. This is horrible that you are so good. I don't always turn there. Do you? It's not always an immediate reflex reaction. I get there. I do, eventually. But, you know, yeah, does the reflex reaction, is it like, this always happens to me? Why can't anything good happen for me? Anybody have these thoughts? Yeah. Am I alone? Jenny, you're with me. My needs don't matter. Does God even care about my struggles? Or, you know, just the, why me? Why me? Or we can think, you know, when a loved one has walked away from God and we're dealing with, we're struggling with that relationship, you know, we have the opportunity to turn and say, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's the goodness of God. When we've screwed up, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. God, you are faithful to all generations. If we don't have this stuff inside of us, or we're not seeking, I don't have my Bible with me today, we're not seeking that, that stuff's not going to come up, is it? Anyone agree with that? I mean, it just isn't if we're not putting it in. Or how about, you know, when we feel rejected, we there's rejection. The Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. It was interesting because I got caught up in football this year. I've never been much of a football fan, but those Facebook reels sucked me in this year. Anybody ever get sucked into those reels and then you're like, I'm suddenly having all these football reels in my feed and I'm going, and so I'm watching them and I'm like, it happened. All right, so I started watching Brock Purdy. Anybody know who that is? A couple people in here. So he's the quarterback for the 49ers, right? So whoever the 49ers were before this, I had no idea. But anyway, I started watching him, and I was like kind of intrigued by him. He's like a total Christian guy, and he really glorifies God. And any of his, you know, people are, you know, when he's doing his press conference questionnaire things, people are asking him, and he's always just honoring God. Well, okay, so the game before the Super Bowl, which was like some championship game, like AFC champion, anybody know? Something like that. All right, so they were down like 24-7 at halftime, and they go in for their halftime break, and they come out, and then they like won the game. Like, they just came back and they won, so then they got to go to the Super Bowl. So they're asking him afterwards, like, what were you thinking in that moment during the halftime? You know, they want to know the secret ingredient that changed it all, right? Because they were down, they were going to lose. It was headed that way. And he said to them that, I said, God, you've taken me here. Win or lose, I'm going to glorify you. That's my peace. That's the joy. That's the steadfastness. That's where I get it from. And they came back and they won. And that's awesome. And then they played the Super Bowl and they lost. But I didn't see him cursing God, right, for losing. We don't sign up to lose. Right? I mean, I don't think that was his goal, but the point is that he was going to praise God and glorify God's name in the win and in the losses of life. And sometimes we have those losses, don't we? We don't like to talk about them. We only want to talk about the victory. But sometimes we're over here in the loss, and sometimes we get stuck in that loss. And I want to help us move out of being stuck. Anybody else kind of get stuck there sometimes? That we're just so focused, our eyes are so focused on the challenge before us that we forget the goodness of God? So Doug was, you know, diagnosed with heart failure, end-stage heart failure, in July of last year. So the end of June, I was driving to the Hy-Vee. I was driving to Hy-Vee, and I was just kind of listening to worship music and praying, and I knew Doug was ill, but I didn't know, like, what. I mean, they told us initially he had gone in, and they said he had dehydration, severe dehydration, and I'm just like, something's going on, right? And so I'm in the car, and I'm driving to Hy-Vee, and I'm just feeling the heaviness of life. And so Cece Winans' song comes on, Believe For It. And great song. I love that song. And, you know, I'm singing, and I had this, you know, she's just, the whole song is about faith and believing for God's, you know, miracles, and, you know, I'm going to believe for it. And again, I love the song, and I'm driving, and it just like hit me, Holy Spirit, I will say, hit me in the fact that I already believe. Mindy, you already believe. It's time to trust me through it. And I was like, ah, you know, the waterworks came, and I'm like bawling driving to Hy-Vee, right? And that was like, to me, like God really just, like I felt that God spoke to me very clearly in that. It's trust me through it. But how can we trust God if we're not settled in the fact that he is good, even in the darkness? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily trust you if I didn't have a relationship with you and believe that I could trust you. Maybe your actions aren't looking like trustworthy. You know what? In my mind, right? So the answer, or to truly be able to trust, goes back to believing that God is good, even in the darkness. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. But how is it possible to experience God's goodness while we're waiting for him to move in our darkness? I'm going to jump over to Romans 5:1-5 in the Passion Translation. It's a little bit long, but I'm just going to read through it here. It says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access to his marvelous kindness that has given us perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Wow, that's a lot. That's a big thing to chew on right there. But what it goes back here, it says, because of what the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. What has Jesus done for us? Everything. He died on the cross. He was a sacrifice for us. And I was kind of thinking about Jesus and his path to the cross. He was under some tremendous stress knowing what was coming. Tremendous stress. And so he's going, you know, to the garden to pray. And he, in Luke 22:42, he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup of agony away from me. But no matter what, your will must be mine. How many of us say, take this cup of agony away from me? I don't want to live in this darkness. I don't want to trust through it. I want to see the victory. I want to live in the victory. I want to live on the mountaintop always. I don't want to be in the valley. Yes, yes. Even Jesus in his humanity was there right where some of us have been. But I think possibly even further than we are. So in Luke 22, 42 through 44, he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. So I read that, and I was like thinking, I wonder if that's a real condition, like if that's a real medical thing, to be able to sweat blood. So I looked it up, and apparently it is. Hematohidrosis is a very rare condition in which an individual sweats blood. It may occur in an individual who is suffering from extreme levels of stress. So even in my darkest time, I have not sweat blood. I don't know if any of you experienced that. Not yet. We're not going to either, Jenny. Shoo. But even in my darkest moments in life that have seemed so stressful, right? Even that, I have not been under that amount of stress to sweat blood. Yet Jesus did, and he was still willing to even go further and experience the cross for you and me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he'll lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he'll lead you wherever you go. I have two of these sheets. Sorry. Skipping ahead. I read that already. Yeah, that's a good one to come back to. Okay, so then... So then I was kind of just thinking about Jesus again, being the sacrifice, right? So he's in the garden. He knows what's coming. He knows that the sin of the world, the sin of the world, of all humanity, of all time, he is going to take that on himself. I mean, he knew. No wonder he was sweating like blood, right? He knew that. But I was thinking, and what is, do you think that the hardest part for him was taking on your sin? Or do you think that the hardest part for him was taking your sin and being separated from his Father? To me, when I think about it, he knew what he came for. He knew what he had to endure from. He was fully God, yet fully man. And even in the scripture, it says that, you know, he says, I only do the things I see my Father do. I only say the things I see my Father do. He had that intimate relationship with God. And, you know, when you see something in your mind, you see somebody wearing a nice outfit, and you go say, hey, I love your outfit. You saw that in your mind before you said it. Sometimes that's the Holy Spirit. He's showing you what to do, what to say. Jesus had that intimate relationship with the Father at all times. And so he knew he was going to take on your sin on that cross. But the pain, I think the worst thing is to be separated from the love of his Father, from that sin. He's good. He is good. In our darkness, he is good. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And I really believe that taking up the cross, yes, there are things we do for God. There are things that we... he has for us, but to be Jesus' disciple is really the sacrifice that we make is laying down our own will, like Jesus had to do. Not my will, but yours be done. Laying down our own will of my way, that how I want it to turn out, the victory, laying it down and trusting his will, his perfect will. We don't always know that. Hindsight is 20/20, right? But we don't have that. We don't have that. So when Jesus is telling his disciples to pick up their cross and follow him, they have to lay down their will, their plans for their life, their wants and their desires, and pick up his will to follow him. So denying ourselves and picking up our cross is a sacrifice of trust. I have recently became a member. I don't think member is the word, but I've gotten into this group of, it's called Good Inside. Dr. Becky, it's a parenting coach. It's a coaching group thing. And there's all these workshops that she has on just really helping parents to navigate parenting and doing it, you know, really lovingly. And it's a support, you know, because some of us struggle with parenting. I mean, I wasn't born knowing how to parent. I need to, you know, work on that. I've been a parent for a while, but it doesn't mean I'm perfect at it, right? And so I had joined this group, Dr. Becky, with Good Inside, and she has some great information out there for parenting, but it's also for just life skills, relationship skills, right? And her, so it's a support network for parents. And so her, one of the things that she hammers on, that I read often, I hear often in her workshops, is to look at, you know, our kids, but also anyone that we're in relationship with, in a situation with the most generous interpretation versus the least generous interpretation. And, you know, when we are having conflict, I'll take it on me. I typically revert to the least generous interpretation. He just wants to hurt me. He doesn't care about me. Right? Least generous interpretation versus most generous interpretation that, you know what, he's had a tough day. He's a great person. He's a good kid who's struggling right now. Or he's a good husband who is, you know, has a lot on his plate. Right? Most generous interpretation. Again, least generous, you're a bad kid. You just want to hurt me. You don't care about me. Am I talking only to myself? I guess. I don't know. Right? So it's just a matter of perspective. Most generous interpretation, you're a good kid. Most generous interpretation, God, you're a good God. I don't know everything going on. I don't know the situation. I don't know what you have planned for me, but you are good and I can trust you. Least generous interpretation, God, why is this always happening to me? You do nothing for me. You must hate me. I can just talk about myself. I mean, you know, if nobody else has these has these thoughts and feelings, right? And so it's a matter of perspective. But how do we get from rewiring our thoughts to the most generous perspective versus the least generous perspective? How do we get from there? And again, Dr. Becky says, you know, it's possible to rewire our brain. You know, when we have a reflex reaction, it's possible to change that. But how do you change it? Practice. How do you change it when you're not in the middle of the conflict? You're telling yourself, I have a good kid. And when you're not in the middle of the darkness, you are constantly telling yourself, and you're rewiring that network in your brain that thinks that I have a bad kid, or thinks that I have a bad husband, or thinks I have a bad employer or a bad friend, right? It's as we can rewire when we're not in that moment of stress, then when we hit that moment of stress, it is possible to have a different reaction or be able to respond instead of react in a healthy manner. Does that make sense? So it's possible to change that perspective of, you know, on the outside, always. I think all of us can say, God is good, God is good. But when we hit the bumps in the road, when we run smack into that wall, that first response, I believe that we can wire ourselves to say, wow, that hurt. Wow, this is painful. God, you are good. You have a good plan for me. You have a good plan for my life, and I can trust your plan. Look at what Jesus did in trusting, not my will, but yours be done, in trusting his Father and the horrendous suffering that he endured. It made no sense at that time. All his disciples deserted him because it made no sense. Right? But Jesus knew the will of the Father. He knew that it was God's will that he do that, and he chose to trust that will. So, so my question for you today is, as I've been speaking, you know, if there's something that's come to your mind where you are holding on, I'm not letting this go. I'm holding it on. I really want my outcome to take place. You know what? Is God prompting you? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to let it go? To say, not my will, God, I'm going to trust you in this. And if we have a last worship song, maybe it would be a good time just to have that moment with you and God and say, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to believe. I'm going to step into that you are good in this situation. We all have many situations. I can, like, start naming them off of things that I want to change. But we can't control the situation. We can't control others. We may try, but has it worked for anyone? Hasn't worked for me so far, right? But we can work on this. We can rewire, and we can change that perspective of we have a good God who loves us, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter how painful it is, and it's painful sometimes. And you know what? Going back to that scripture that it says in here, in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. I think we sang a song today that said about hope. There was hope in that. How do we get back to hope? Is that allowing God those pressures in life, those things that are meant to distract us and take us away from God's presence and his word, to allow those things to come back to and allow it to build in us the character, to build in us the hope, the endurance that God has and wants for us. And again, look at what Jesus did. His sacrifice on the cross produced salvation, a way to go directly to the Father for all of us. So, thank you guys.